Gabby, thank you for leading us in our prayers. If I could ask you to take up your Bibles, it's now time for our reading, and Peter has that for us this week.
The reading for this morning can be found on page 1188 of the Church Bibles. We're reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and beginning at verse 1. 1188. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing.
Well, Gabby's already prayed for our time together in God's Word, so I'm going to dive straight in. And I'm going to dive straight in by saying that Paul wrote this bit of 1 Thessalonians to make sure that the Thessalonian Christians and that we had something in our diaries. You know how it is, don't you? When something is in your diary, you do what you need to do to get ready for it. So maybe you've got an important meeting at work coming up. You're going to a client's office to make a pitch. And so you make sure you've read all the documents you need to read in advance. You've checked the TfL website to check there's no planned engineering work that will delay your getting there. You ensure your best shirt is clean and ironed. Or maybe your diary reminds you that some friends are coming over for dinner next Thursday. And so you make sure you plan some food to eat. You get the ingredients you need to do your cooking. You check something's in the fridge to drink. When something's in the diary, we plan and we prepare for it. And if you're anything like me, if it's not in the diary, well, it doesn't even make it onto your radar. And it certainly doesn't inform the choices or the decisions that you make. Paul wants us to have something really important in our diaries. And you may have picked up what that was as we had our reading. It's this: the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's just one slight difficulty in putting Jesus' return into our diaries. We don't actually know when it'll happen. We know that it will happen. That we can be sure of. We just don't quite know when. Now, I know that makes it hard to write it in, but Paul wants us to have this on our horizons. He wants it to be in our consciousness, to be making a difference to our choices and our actions, the decisions that we make in the here and now. Why is that? Well, first reason he gives in this passage is this: because of the alternative. You see, Paul says, if we live with no regard for Jesus' return, well, that day will be a day that's unexpected to us, a day that's unwelcome for us, and also a day that we cannot escape. It'll be inescapable. Have a look with me at the start of our reading. Paul's picking up from where he left off in chapter 4, where we were last week, and he writes these words. "Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." For some, Paul says, Jesus' return will come like a thief in the night. It'll be unexpected. A burglar never announces their visit, posting a note through your door saying, "I'll be coming to rob your house next Tuesday at 9 p.m. if that's convenient for you." It's not how they work. Their visits are unexpected, and a thief's visit is also unwelcome. No one wants to deal with the pain and the heartache of a break-in. And Paul says for some, that is just what Jesus' return will be like. And you may think, well, that's a really strange picture for Paul to use about Jesus' return. Particularly if you were here with us last week, you'll know he spoke really positively about that day just a few verses before. So why did he use this imagery here of a thief in the night? Well, verse 3 tells us. Paul writes, "While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." Because we can't put a date and a postcode on Jesus' return, some people say it's not going to happen. Of course, that happens today, and it happened 2,000 years ago in Thessalonica. And Paul wrote this letter. And back then, the city was enjoying a long period of stability under Roman rule. And it seems that as the Thessalonian Christians went to tell their friends about Jesus and about him coming to rescue us from the wrath to come, as they pleaded with them to accept Jesus into their lives, it seems that they were greeted with this response: "Peace and safety. Peace and safety, what are you so worried about? God won't judge us. Look how well we're living. We don't need saving. Relax. Go out, enjoy yourselves." But Paul is clear. Verse 3, "While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly." Destruction, it's one of the words that Paul uses to talk about a final and definitive separation from God. Far from being a time of peace and safety, it'll be a moment of devastation. It's unexpected, it's unwelcome, it's also inescapable. There's no getting away from that day. Paul uses the imagery of a pregnant woman. As a pregnant woman can't escape the pains of labor, so we can't avoid the return of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, put the date in your diary. Get it in there. Be prepared for it. Because if you're not prepared, well, the alternative is unexpected, unwelcome, inescapable. Utterly devastating. And if we have it in our diaries now, well, we can do something about it. Before Jesus comes back, we can do something about our relationship with God while we still have time. And so if you're in that boat, let me plead with you, as the Thessalonians were doing with their friends. Let me plead with you to turn to Jesus, to rescue you from the coming wrath, to rescue you from God's just judgment for the ways in which we pushed him out of our lives. Let me urge you to turn back to God before it's too late. You see, if you have Jesus' return in your diary, rescue is possible. And of course, having Jesus' return in your diary means that it won't be a surprise to you. Here's how Paul puts it in verse 4 of our reading. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Paul says, if you're a Christian, you don't live in the darkness. Jesus has brought you into the light. And so when he comes back, it won't be an unwelcome surprise like a thief in the night. No, it's something we're expecting, something we'll be delighted when it happens. Something to look forward to. And when you're looking forward to something, what do you do? Well, you get ready for it. And in the rest of this passage, Paul gives us three ways in which we can do that. Here's the first. Paul says we're to get ready by being sober. And we're to do that because we're in a battle. What do I mean by that? Well, if you've been with us as we've worked our way through this letter of 1 Thessalonians, you'll know that Paul started this church in Thessalonica, but only after only a few weeks in town, he was chased out by a mob. And the atmosphere was such that he was unable to return there, and he was worried about these fledgling Christians. As he wrote earlier in the letter, I was afraid in some way that the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. Paul knew that that the Thessalonian Christians, indeed that we, are in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And until that day when Jesus returns to bring the war to an end, there's a danger that the tempter, the devil, might snatch us out of the light and take us back to his realm. Take us back to the darkness. And so Paul wants us to be aware of that, to be sober. Verse 6 of our reading. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober, alert to those dangers around us. 4, verse 7. Those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. In other words, don't do the things of the night. Don't do the things that will dull your senses to the dangers that are around you. Don't do that because you'll risk being captured by the enemy. And so verse 8, he reiterates, since we belong to the day, let us be sober. And how are we to do that? How are we to be sober and alert and aware? Would it be by being appropriately dressed, he says. Appropriately dressed for the dangers we face. Let me read verse 8 again. Since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's been captivated by the unfolding story of the Wild Boars football team trapped in the Tamlun Kaem system in Thailand. There was jubilation, wasn't there, when they were found 9 days after they entered the caves and became trapped by the floodwaters. But after that jubilation came the difficulty of working out how to get them out of the cave where they were trapped. And they came up with all sorts of ideas. They thought about drilling down to get the boys out through an escape tunnel, but they were a kilometre underground and there was the danger of the cave collapsing on top of them. They thought about waiting for the waters to recede, but that would have taken months and the oxygen supplies were running low. And so, as we all know, they came to their option of last resort. They brought them out of the tunnel through the water. Many of these boys who couldn't swim were strapped on diving equipment to get them out safely. And to make that journey, they had to be suitably attired. They had their full face masks on because they wouldn't have been used to normal diving regulators to help them breathe as they swam out. They had wetsuits to keep them warm through the bone-chilling cold waters that they were swimming through. Apparently, they even had a handle sort of strapped to their back to help their rescuers navigate them through the narrow caves. Take away any of those things that they were wearing, and they wouldn't have survived the dangerous journey they were on through that cave. And it's just the same for the Christian, just the same for us. To survive the dangers that we face, we need to be dressed appropriately. We need to be protected, Paul says, by the breastplate of faith and love. A sure faith that Christ has rescued us from the wrath to come. A faith that will protect us from the lies of the devil when he says otherwise. A love for others that enables us to help those who are struggling in their faith. And Paul says we also need the helmet of the hope of salvation. That sure and certain hope that when Jesus returns, we will be safe. That day will be a day of salvation for us, a day when we can enjoy being with God forever. Paul says, put on faith, put on love, put on hope. They're the things that will keep you alert to the dangers that are around. They're the things that will protect you as we wait for that day. That's the first way we get ready, by getting dressed appropriately, by being sober because we're in a battle. Here's the second. We're to be encouraged because God is for us. The hope a Christian has, it won't come crashing down like the hope of the England football fan. Why is that? Verse 9. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. See what Paul is saying? God is for us. He's taken the initiative. He's appointed us to receive salvation. It's a done deal. Nothing can change that. Some might say, oh, that he'd appointed England to win the World Cup. But alas, that's not where we are. But actually, this is far more exciting than that. Far more exciting. Paul says that because Jesus died for us, we have a hope of living with him forever. Not a transitory moment of delight as your country wins a trophy. Something we can enjoy forever. Be encouraged, Paul says to this beleaguered group of Christians. God is for you. And then finally, he says, get ready by being encouraging. Be encouraging, because we need one another. You see, Paul knows how hard it is to live as a Christian in a hostile society, in a world where people say peace and safety when you warn them of the judgment to come. He knows how hard it is to live as a Christian when living as a Christian means engaging in spiritual warfare. He knows that as Christians we'll have moments where our faith is weak, where our love is lacking, where our hope is hazy. So after those wonderful truths of verses 9 and 10, he says in verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. He says, in light of the initiative that God has taken, encourage one another, strengthen one another in your faith, build one another up. You see, we need each other if we're going to get ready for Jesus' return. We need each other if that entry in our diary is going to make a difference in our lives. And wonderfully, as Paul said to the Thessalonians, I see that around us here at St. Peter's, I can say with Paul, encourage one another and build one another up, just as in fact you are doing. Keep going, Paul would say to us. Great you're doing this. Keep going. Regulars will know we have a coffee time question here at St. Peter's, a chance to help us keep thinking about what we've been hearing from God. This week's one has a slightly different flavour to reflect that we can encourage one another, that we need one another. Here it is. How can I help you be ready for Jesus' return? That would be a great question to ask someone over coffee, to do this work of encouraging. How can I help you to be ready for Jesus' return? course, this is also why it'd be great to get along to our Summer Central Bible studies if you can, to not take that break over the holidays, but to keep going as we spend time thinking about how we might love one another as church family. Well, it'll make it much easier to do this work of encouraging one another. So do come if you can. Paul says, be encouraging. We need one another in the Christian life. I wonder how much influence over your diary Jesus' return has. How does it affect the way that you live? How does it change the decisions that you make? Because Paul says there's nothing more important that you could have in your diary. Meetings, dinners, birthdays, anniversaries, Wimbledon finals, World Cup finals. Well, none of them even come close. Because knowing that Jesus will return one day means that we can take steps to stop it being an unexpected and unwelcome and inescapable surprise. It means there's time to turn to God before that devastating day of destruction, when all who are separated from God are cut off with a definitive, a final separation. And it also means we can look forward to that day. We can live in the light of it. We can live sober lives, knowing that we're in a spiritual battle, that we're under attack. But we can do it knowing that God is for us, and so we can be encouraged. And it means, of course, that we'll encourage one another to keep going when things are hard for us. What place does Jesus' return have in your diary? Well, let me give you a moment to think about that, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus died for us, so that we can live together with him. Thank you that that means his return will not be unexpected or unwelcome or inescapable, but something to look forward to and to welcome with joy. Father, for those of us who are trusting in his death to see us through to that day, we pray that you'd help us to be sober, aware of the spiritual battle that we're in. Pray that you would help us to be encouraged, knowing that you are for us. And pray that you would help us to encourage one another, knowing that we need each other to keep going in the Christian life. Please help us do these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.